Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. In Luke 12, 35 through 40, Jesus talked with his disciples about being ready for his return. He instructed them to let their loins be girded and their lights burning. Luke 12, 35. He compared his disciples to men waiting for their master to return from his wedding. Luke 12, 36. The servants would be blessed only if they were watching and ready for their Lord. If they were ready when he came, he would gird himself and serve them meat. Luke 12, 37. It did not matter whether he came during the second watch or the third watch. They were to have their lamps trimmed and burning and their loins girded. Luke 12, 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the good man of the house had known when the thief was coming, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through." Luke 12, 39. The message Jesus wanted his disciples and us to learn is very simple and easy to remember. Be ready at all times for the Lord's coming. Nobody knows when the Lord is going to return to claim his own and to judge the world. Luke 12, 40. If you know and believe the many New Testament passages relating to our Lord's second coming, you know the lessons of the parable in Luke 12 are just as sorely needed in our generation as they were when Jesus first taught them to his immediate followers. We do not know, because we do not need to know, when Christ is coming. The false prophets on television who continue to speak of our Lord's coming in the next few years have no basis for such statements. They are simply following in the footsteps of false prophets who have gone before them. The time of our Lord's second coming is not the significant truth regarding his coming. The fact that he is coming is the important truth, and that we are to be ready for him when he comes is also vital. After our Lord had spoken the parable which I have briefly reviewed, Luke 12, 35 through 40, the Apostle Peter asked him, "Lord, do you speak this parable to us or even unto all?" Luke 12, 41. Peter seemed to grasp the truth that the parable was for the immediate disciples. He and the other disciples had heard the same truth emphasized over and over. The message had always been the same. Jesus is coming. Be ready for him when he comes. Peter wanted to know if the parable applied to others as well as to Christ's immediate disciples. Our Lord did not answer directly, as was often the case, but Peter and the other apostles could know the answer by his subsequent teaching. We know he is coming. We do not know when. We must be ready. Following the parable in Luke 12, 35 through 40, and Peter's inquiry concerning the application of the parable, Jesus discussed a truth which is emphasized throughout his teachings, and that is, stewards must be found faithful. That expression does not appear in Luke 12, but in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Speaking of himself and of his fellow laborers, Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers or servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Our English word steward is a translation of the Greek oikonomos. The Greek is composed of two words, oikos meaning house and nomos meaning law. Our English word economy is derived from the same Greek word. The literal meaning of the Greek is the law of the house or a house manager. The steward in Bible times was a slave who was over other slaves. The word is used 10 times in the New Testament and is translated chamberlain, Romans 16:23, and governors, Galatians 4:2, as well as steward. A similar Greek word, oikonomia, appears 7 times in the New Testament and is rendered stewardship, Luke 16, 2 and 3. Dispensation, 1 Corinthians 9, 17. And edifying, 1 Timothy 1, 4. When a man was honored in ancient times to be appointed a steward, he had the responsibility to be faithful in discharging his duties. Even though he was the house manager, like Joseph in Potiphar's house, he was not the owner and could not do with the other man's property as he wished. He was to take care of his master's belongings as if they were his own, but they were not his own. The church does not belong to the preacher or to the elders or to any other human being, but we are stewards of God's family and are obligated to look after the Lord's house. Every steward must be found faithful. According to Luke 12, 42 through 44, God's children must be wise and faithful stewards. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Luke 12, 42. As a commentary on this verse from Luke, let me read again Paul's statement from 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. "Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The master who left his stewards in charge of his possessions depended on the stewards to take care of those possessions. He did not want his financial matters in disarray or his servants mistreated. Let me illustrate what is involved. When we elect and send men and women to Washington or to our state capitals, we expect them to be faithful as stewards of our country and of our states. The government does not belong to the president or to the Congress or to our governors, although many elected officials act as if they did. Our representatives are to handle our money in a responsible and faithful manner. But in hundreds of cases, they simply do not do so. Let me give you one example. Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia has brought billions of dollars into West Virginia just because he had the power to do so. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been wasted just so Senator Byrd could continue to be elected in his state. Several Washington administrations have taken money, billions of dollars, from the Social Security Trust Fund and have spent it on other projects. As a result of stealing from the Social Security Trust Fund, our Social Security system is in deep trouble. Our Social Security taxes are paying for those who are receiving their retirement income. But the government has not been and is not now a faithful steward of America's Social Security program. The government, industry, our school systems, and even churches are often unwise and unfaithful stewards. You can know for sure that God will call to account all of us who are in positions of authority and responsibility, whether church leaders, governmental leaders, educational leaders, or parents. Stewards are not only to be faithful, they are also to be wise. The verse in the Greek literally reads, "The faithful steward, the wise one." You can imagine the wisdom necessary for a steward to manage a large estate in the absence of his master. He not only would have the routine duties of any master, but emergencies would inevitably arise which required him to act on his own knowledge and wisdom. That would demand the very best of a steward. Governmental leaders, whether local or state or national, are our servants. They are elected not to further their own interests or ambitions, but to be stewards over our needs and wishes and interests. The steward in our Lord's teaching was made ruler over his master's household. The steward would actually rule in his master's stead. He would be a servant who had been tried and proved capable of handling the enormous challenges of running the household. The steward would know how to treat the other servants. He would give them their portion of meat in due season, that is, at the right time. He would not play favorites among the servants, but would treat everyone with respect and get the very best from each servant. It takes a great amount of wisdom to accomplish all of that. The master of the house would be grateful and honor the faithful steward. Blessed is the servant, Jesus said, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Luke 12:43. On another occasion, Jesus used language similar to what I have read to you from Luke 12. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a journey, who left his house, and gave authority to servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Mark 13:34-37. Faithfulness will be rewarded by the master of the house. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler of all that he has. Luke 12:44. In our Lord's parable of the talents, he has the master saying to his faithful servants, well done, you good and faithful servants. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25:21. As everyone knows who has thought about it, faithfulness to one's calling often opens opportunities for greater service. But unfaithfulness will have dire consequences. Please notice what happens when the servant does not act wisely and faithfully. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Luke 12:45-46. The master of the estate may have done his best in seeking for someone to manage his affairs while he has to be away. But no one can know for sure how anyone will act when he is given a little authority and responsibility. Employees who have been model workers may turn into monsters when they become superintendents or supervisors. Virtually everyone in the military or in education or in industry has witnessed such arrogance and unthoughtfulness. When Jesus mentioned the Lord's delaying his coming, the immediate application was to be to the master of the house. He unquestionably had in mind a broader application, however. How easy it is for modern men to argue that because the Lord has not returned, he will not. Such a completely foolish argument. Please listen carefully to the Apostle Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned. 2 Peter 3:3-6-10. These verses stress the truth that Jesus is coming again, but no man can know when. We must be ready for him when he comes. In our Lord's story of the faithful steward, he mentioned the possibility of the stewards being unfaithful and misusing his power. He shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens. The word men servants, paidos, and maidens, paidiskos, probably referred to very young servants. The steward's elevation to a position of authority has apparently gone to his head, and he demonstrates his power by beating the young servants. In addition, the unfaithful steward may be tempted to eat and to drink and to be drunken. Because the steward thinks his master is not returning soon or at all, he engages in gross misbehavior, violence, gluttony, and drunkenness. If the steward acts in the way Jesus just described, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Luke 12:46. In the picture Jesus presents, the Lord of the estate has delayed his coming. The steward may have thought the master was not going to return. He takes advantage of the master's absence to act abominably. He mistreats the servants and acts like a potentate, although he was still a servant. The Lord has delayed his coming for 2,000 years, but he is coming. There probably have been many people in every generation who have said, either explicitly or implicitly, that they do not expect the Lord to come, ever. So they turn aside from following his laws and become violent, sexually immoral, and drunk. My friends, we should always be aware of our living in the presence of God Almighty. We should also recognize the shortness of our life on this planet. We must make preparation for eternity by believing and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unfaithful steward will be cut in sunder. The verb translated cut in sunder comes into the English in our word dichotomy. The word is used literally of the punishment the Lord will mete out to his servant. Jesus said the steward will be appointed a portion with the unbelievers. The word unbeliever would be better translated unfaithful. The word unbeliever would not be very meaningful in this context. Furthermore, Jesus said, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Luke 12:47. That servant who was unfaithful will be punished because he did not follow his master's instructions. Notice the emphasis on that servant who knew his Lord's will. As you know from many other biblical passages, knowledge brings on greater responsibility. If we know and do not obey, we are judged more harshly than if we do not know. That is precisely the point Peter makes concerning men who had known God's truth and turned from it. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it is better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2:20-22. When Jesus speaks of the steward who knew his master's will, but did not do it, as being beaten with many stripes, is he suggesting degrees of punishment? In verse 47, Jesus said, some will be beaten with many stripes. But in verse 48, he said, some will be beaten with few stripes. Please listen to verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him shall they ask the more. Luke 12:48. If these two verses teach degrees of punishment, and they certainly seem to do so, Christians still want to avoid even the lightest punishment from God Almighty. If there are degrees of punishment and of bliss, the highest degree in hell would be as nothing compared to the lowest degree of bliss in heaven, if we can use that kind of language. Besides, what is to be gained in vigorous discussions of this type? Typically, I have seen Bible classes wasted with discussions of this kind. to use the words of James, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." James 3:10. Christ clearly makes a distinction between those who knew the Lord's will and did not obey it, and those who did not know it. "But he that knew not, and did not commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more." Luke 12:48. There are some principles enunciated in this verse which must not be ignored. There is special responsibility for those who know the truth of God's book. Those of us who have grown up in Christian homes and in strong churches have opportunities and duties which others may not have. When we fail in living according to God's word, we have more severe punishment because we deserve more severe punishment. The same truth is taught in the book of Hebrews. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Hebrews 10:28-29. Jesus said, "Unto whom much is given, of him much is required." Most of us understand this principle, both from the teachings of the Bible and also from human experience. Men and women who have great talent, great opportunities, and great wealth have greater opportunities and hence greater responsibility than others. "And to whom much is committed, of him shall they ask the more." You have probably heard the old saying, "If you want something done well, ask the person who is already busy." All of this says that if we have great abilities, we must use them in God's service. We must not offer excuses for failure to do God's will. He knows the emptiness of our excuses, and so do most right-thinking people. On the other hand, there are millions of us who are limited in ability, in knowledge, and in many other ways. Our limitations must not prevent our using whatever talents we have to the glory of God. I have known many people, and I suspect you have also, who were not geniuses by any stretch of the imagination, but they were productive, happy, and successful. Some of the greatest gospel preachers I have known were not intellectuals. Some were even physically handicapped. But they used their time and talents to serve the living God and to help their fellow men. I think especially of J.D. Boyd, who preached for many years in Ruston, Louisiana. J.D. Boyd grew up in my home community in Middle Tennessee. He contracted polio, which severely crippled him. One arm was almost useless. One leg was twisted badly, which made it difficult for him to walk. His affliction made it very hard for him to speak. But he was one of the kindest, gentlest, and most courageous people I have ever been privileged to know. To illustrate something of his influence on my life, I can still remember more than 50 years ago some of the sermons he preached at my home congregation. How easy it would have been for J.D. Boyd to have said, "I am so badly handicapped, I cannot stand in the pulpit to preach. I cannot visit people in the hospital." But he never used any excuse to justify inactivity. He worked diligently in the Lord's vineyard for many years and died in fellowship with God Almighty. One of the great messages of the passage we have been examining today is this: Jesus Christ is coming to receive his own. We do not know when he is coming. Any speculation regarding the time of his coming is not only unwise, but unscriptural as well. The time of his coming is of no consequence, so far as Christians are concerned. What is vital is to be ready for him when he comes. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians says very simply, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. How do we get ready to meet the Lord when He comes? If we are not Christians, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must confess that faith before men, repent of our sins, and be baptized into Christ. If we are Christian, we must walk in the light as Christ is in the light. We must go on unto maturity. We must use the time and talents which are granted to us to further the kingdom of Almighty God. Then when our lives are over, we can hear our Master say, enter into the joys of thy Lord. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.